We prepared for tonight and confess any known sin that we might have. Not that that ever happens, but let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're thankful once again for this opportunity that we have to come together and to look into your word. We ask that we would be enlightened and encouraged by the principles that we examine. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, kind of entitled tonight's lesson. You guys all see that? I mean, this is a lot of laughs, so this... I think everyone can probably appreciate this. Well, you know, as I've been kind of thinking about what to teach, you know, it's amazing how the Lord works situations out in our lives to reinforce the principles and just make them ever so clear. You know, I don't know how many of you have taught, or better yet, how many of you have studied Scripture. You'll find the same thing happens there. So it's a really marvelous concept, but you know, it always also makes you wonder, gee, what verse do I want to study next? You know? Well, I want to talk tonight about adversity. Adversity is something that we are all confronted with, something that happens to us. You know, it's just one of those facts in life. And if we think about, you know, just our group here at Westside, and the adversity that, you know, just the people that we know, we come in contact with, well, we find that adversity, you know, is going to happen wherever we go. It's going to happen wherever we find ourselves. There's absolutely no escaping it. You know, if we choose to try and seclude ourselves from life, then we'll probably become our own source of adversity. You know, that's just how it works. As far as adversity can happen whenever the Lord chooses. You know, there's no gauging it when it's going to happen. You know, about the time you think things are going real smooth in your life is about the time you can expect something to happen. It can come in many different forms. You know, and as I think about, you know, just my time being here at Westside and just trying to picture the adversity, and you know, it's really, a lot of times it's very obvious. You know, adversity that people are going through in their lives, it can come in many different forms, whether it be through a job, health. You know, we can have problems with our health. A death. You know, we've seen death at Westside. You know, and that brings adversity, family problems. Whether it's problems with, you know, our children, or, you know, maybe it's problems with parents, or maybe it's problems with a spouse. Maybe it's problems with ourselves. You know, many times we're the source of, you know, our own adversity. Last week we talked about camp, and, you know, I've got many stories about camp where you bring adversity onto yourself because of bad choices, you know. It's just all around us. There's no escaping it. So I guess the overriding principle is that we will face adversity in our life. So I guess where I'd like to begin with this is, you know, why does adversity happen? You know, so main point number two, that was all number one, by the way. Why does it happen? And I guess, you know, as I was thinking about this, you could also entitle this, "What Does God Want of Me?" Because when we think of adversity, we really have to think of it in that light. You know, what does God want to see happen in my life? Because we always have to think of, you know, what's going on in our lives from the divine perspective. You know, because everything in our lives is there for a reason. Well, if we think about why it happens, we've always got to realize that God wants us to be like His Son. Okay? And the verse that I'd like you to look at is Romans chapter 8, verse 29. If you'd turn there, please. Romans 8, 29. Why do these things happen in our life? Why can't we just go through life and just put it in cruise control and just move forward and have absolutely nothing happen. Well, it's just, it ain't going to happen that way. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, and that's referring to us, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God has a plan for us, and that plan is for us to be conformed to the image of his son. And, you know, that the other night, or last night, we were talking in with the high schoolers about how God does this, you know. I don't know if any of you are familiar with woodworking, but they've got some pretty nasty files, you know, that can just you could just rake hunks of wood off at a time. Well, sometimes that's how God works in our lives. You know, it's, we don't, there are things in our lives that we don't see that are going on within us that God sees a need to change. And so he will allow circumstances to come up in order to conform us to his son. I mean, that's his ultimate goal. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we're his representatives here on earth. And so things will happen, and adversity will happen to us. So God wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. And if we think also about why it happens, point number B under point two, point A was he wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. You'll have to bear with me on these outlines. I'll try and be a little bit more accurate here. Point number B, he wants to teach us to trust him. You know, things that go on in our life, God wants us to trust him. And there are just countless psalms. Well, I mean, this theme is not limited to the psalms. You know, most of the characters in Scripture, you know, you read about them, and their success or failure is based on their ability to trust God. We were looking last night at the life of Joseph in, you know, the latter part of the book of Genesis, and just all the things that happened in his life. And it's just absolutely amazing the attitude that he had the entire time. He knew that this was God working through his life, and regardless of the circumstance, he trusted in the Lord. He knew it was, you know, he didn't have any bitterness towards his brothers. Well, God wants to teach us to trust him. Just a few psalms. You can just jot these references down and I'll read them to you. Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 40, verse 4, how blessed is the man who made the Lord his trust. I mean, that's talking about the reward in the life of the individual who puts his trust in the Lord. You know, there's blessing involved. Psalm 56, verse 3, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 is another great verse, and this is from the Lord. It says, Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes the flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and he won't see when the prosperity comes. But he will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt, without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought. So the heat on the bush here is analogous just to the, you know, the heat that's going to come in our lives. And heat does come in our lives. You know, adversity is inevitable. I mean, it will happen. When we think about what happens when adversity strikes in our life, you know, what do? Well, I wrote down four things you shouldn't do. Don't be angry. This is point number three, main point number three. What not to do when adversity strikes. Don't be angry. It's so easy to get upset when things go wrong. You know, it's really, with many of us, I won't say with all because I don't know, but it's a very instinctive reaction. And we all react differently to the adversity that comes up in our lives. You know, don't get angry about it. And when I say don't get angry, you know, anger has a direction. Don't get angry towards God. Don't get angry towards the people that are around you. Because many times there will be people involved in the adversity that we go through. You know, we usually will not be out in the wilderness all by ourselves and this boulder comes tumbling down the mountain. Our tests of adversity usually don't come like that. It's either at work, it's at school, it's at camp, it's at church, it's on a work day. It's usually involving other people many times. So don't become angry. And anger many times leads to bitterness. So point B under point three of what not to do is not to become bitter when adversity strikes. Don't become bitter. That's a bitter pill, bitterness. You know, that's a tough one. Because, you know, I've had occasions, you know, I mean, I know what bitterness can do. You know, you got to leave it be. You got to put it behind you. You can't think on these things because they will bring up every time you recall. You know, you got to be careful. Just these things that take you bad places, these thoughts, you just got to leave them be. So bitterness, what not to do. Third thing of what not to do is judging. You know, don't judge. You just got to leave the situation in the Lord's hands. If the adversity is something that is self-induced, judging would be appropriate. Judge yourself. Look at yourself. If the adversity is a result of others, you just need to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And then finally, what not to do when adversity strikes is worry or become anxious over the situation. And this is I'm sure where a lot of us go. We have a situation strikes and our mind starts racing about, well, what's going to happen now? And you know, whether the problem is known or whether it's unknown, you know, if it's a situation that we're aware of and we've got all the facts, you know, the situation is still in the Lord's hands. You know, so we've got to learn how to trust in Him, because adversity is going to strike. We got to be careful of this one, anxiety and worry, because it makes for sleepless nights too. Well, main point number four, dealing with adversity. Well, how do you prepare for it? Just exactly what do you do? Well, just think back when you were in school. You had a big math test coming up, or maybe it was a big history test. There's some adversity there. Oh, I hated history. It was just one of, you know, it's like you just had to memorize page after page of material. So how do you prepare? Well, if you want to get a good grade in the class, you probably should open the book and study. And if you don't, you know, when I got a bad grade on a test, it was usually pretty clear why I got the bad grade. You know, it wasn't that I walked into the wrong classroom and took the wrong test on the wrong subject. I was in the right class. It was the right subject. It was the right teacher. I just wasn't prepared. And the same thing happens, you know, in the problems that we're going to face in life. God has every single answer for the problems that we're going to face. And most of them just kind of come back to the same thing. Trust in the Lord. You know, so how do we prepare for these tests? Well, the simple answer is just to study God's Word. if we don't study, we are still going to face these problems in life, but unfortunately, we're not going to have the material to deal with it. You know, and that does. If you have a problem in life and you don't, you know, if you're not prepared for it, it will be worrisome. You know, there will be a lot of anxiety. And, you know, if we're not confident that the Lord's going to walk us through this particular problem, you know, then there's going to be worry involved. And just a host of other things that come with worry, or whenever, you know, whenever we get cranked up about a particular situation, you know, where my old sin nature takes me is probably different than where yours takes you. But it all takes us, you know, they usually don't take us real good places. You know, that's usually pretty much a given. Well, so how do we prepare? Well, we study God's Word. You know, we just have to, it's easier to do this than to wait until the adversity strikes. Then you're like, I need a verse. I need a verse. But you have a verse for me. You know, it doesn't work as good that way. So you got to study. You got to prepare beforehand. Well, so here you are, and you're just cruising along in life. Your life's in neutral. You just think you got it on easy street. Yeah, I'm in maturity now. No problems. And adversity strikes. What do you do? Well, I mean, again, adversity is going to have many different faces and different shapes. You know, how it hits you, I guess adversity is just going to be, you're in cruise control and you hit a speed bump in life. Okay, this is something that you weren't expecting, something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe it breaks you out of your routine, your daily routine. I don't know what it is, but something happens and it gets you upset. Well, what do you do? So that's point number 5, by the way. What to do when adversity strikes. Well, I guess the first thing to do, point number A, is to examine yourself to see if you're in line with God's written will. And, you know, when I say God's written will, we're talking about, you know, what's revealed between the covers of the Bible. You know, God's gone to great lengths to involve many people over thousands of years to record for us, you know, what He would like to have happen in our lives. And, you know, we have to make sure, a lot of times adversity is going to strike. When I say adversity, something's going to happen in our life, and you know, many times it's just as a result of a bad choice that we've made. You know, and we will make bad choices because we just know about man that, you know, man is born unrighteous, that God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. So we just know that that's just, you know, we have to accept the fact that that's a condition that we come into the world with. And so if we recognize that, then we always have to at least explore that opportunity when adversity comes into our life that, gee, maybe this is, you know, maybe this is something that I'm doing wrong. Or maybe this is the Lord's way of, you know, making me aware to it. So we have to examine ourselves to see if we're in line with God's written will. We've got to start there. Just a few verses. Psalm 66:18. This is David speaking, and he says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Hebrews chapter 12, if you turn to that, please. Just to give us just another possibility of why things may happen in our lives. My son, do not... We'll look at verse 5 and following in Hebrews 12. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Well, if we remember that the Lord loves all of his children, and that those he loves, he disciplines, then guess what? We can conclude from this verse that we're all going to get disciplined. It's just a part of the normal growth in the Christian life. Verse number 7. It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then are you not illegitimate children and not sons? Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. Which we always need to keep in mind when we think about, you know, how our parents raised us. They did the best they could. And we just kind of need to leave that and move on with our lives. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. This is God's goal in the discipline, so that we can partake in his holiness. Verse number 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Well, you know, adversity can take the form of discipline. And when we're going through it in our lives, you know, it's not pleasant. I think of growing up. I mean, years of unpleasantness. You know, my dad was old school as far as discipline. He had about a 40-inch belt. It was about 3/4 of an inch wide. And, you know, there were three boys in the family. And I don't know, we were probably less than cooperative most of the time. And I remember this one time, I've told a couple of you this story. We're driving across. This is the big trek when we moved from New Hampshire to Arizona. And, you know, we're cruising across the big interstate, and my dad kept telling us, be quiet, be quiet. What is it? Your parents just don't like hearing kids in the car. And this is a station wagon, you know. It wasn't like this is a big camper with a big window partition, okay? No, this was a station wagon. And, you know, we just kept cranking and cranking, so finally he pulled over to the side of the road, and he opened up the back of the station wagon, and he lined up all three boys. We're in number one, number two, number three. And he lit us up on the interstate. And, you know, it wasn't joyful. It was sorrowful. But, you know what? It taught me how to listen. I don't think that one particular case did. It was probably a combination of them. You know what's unfortunate? You know, as an employer, I've seen, you know, many young men who have not had this experience in their life, and, you know, they don't need to tell me. It's very apparent in their lives because they cannot listen. They cannot follow instructions. And, you know, that's a heavy weight for a kid to have to deal with who's never been disciplined, you know, and he moves into adulthood, because that's tough baggage to get rid of as an adult. You know, if you're trained that way as a kid, it's just a natural thing when your authorities talk to you and tell you to do something, you just automatically do it. But if you've been allowed to do whatever you want as a kid, boy, it's just, you know, the parents are doing a real disservice for their children, because they will have a tough time, you know, as adults. Well, we need to make sure that when things are going on in our life, that when there's adversity that's happening, we need to first look to ourselves to see if we're the cause of it. It's real important. And, I guess it's nice to think that, you know, we're suffering for the Lord, you know, but usually we're suffering, or with me anyways, is suffering for stupidity, you know. Well, after we've examined ourselves, okay, and we find out if, you know, all right, am I the one at fault here? If I've got any guilt upon myself for this situation, you know, I want to confess it to the Lord, learn from the situation, and move on. Well, if you're not the one at fault, And if this is an adverse situation, you need to think of some other things. Point number B is you've got to remind yourself of what God has told you. We have to remind ourselves what God has told us. You're in this situation, and you know it's. It's tough. It's tough. It's real tough. And the only thing you've got, to make it through, that's going to take you through it successfully, is the Word of God. So you've got to remember what you've studied. This is test day for you. This is test day for me. You know, all of a sudden this problem hits. This is where the study, helps us. We've got to recall what God has promised. God has said, look, if this happens in your life, this is what I promised to do. So we need to know what those promises are so that we can have comfort in these situations. So we've got to recall Scripture. Because when we're recalling Scripture, we're recalling God's very words to us. So we've got to remember that. So remind yourself of what God has told us. And point number one, under this point B, under point five, you've got to remember that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for every single one of us. We've got to remember that when we're going through this problem in life. This God has a plan for me. Jeremiah 29:11. This is God speaking. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. This is a verse that we can take comfort in during this time. Whatever it is that's going on, God has a plan. And His plan is for the best for us. And sometimes what's best for us is not always pleasant at the moment. But that's a lot of times what it takes for us to grow. We were kind of joking last night with the kids about, there's not the super Christian button on our backs that God's going to turn one day. It just doesn't happen that way. It's work. It's a work in progress. It's our life. So we have to remember that God has a plan for us. Point number two. We've got to remember that God is in control of the events in our life. God is in control of the events that happen in our life. Nothing happens by accident. In Matthew 10:29, this is how detailed God's plan is. I know there's another verse that talks about God keeping track of the hairs on our head. It just seems kind of odd, but Matthew 10:29, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? So as I go through this problem in my life, as you go through this problem in your life, there is no surprises for God. Everything that happens, every event, He's in control of. There are no surprises. We just think back about your life, my life, all the things that we've gone through. God has known from eternity past everything that was going to happen. He's made provision for all of it. So He's in control of the events in our life. There's something's not going to happen that God doesn't have a handle on. It's just that simple. Point number three. God can cause adversity to work for good. God can cause adversity to work for good. And the reference for this principle is Romans 8:28. And if you would please turn to that. How many here know this verse without looking? This is one of those verses. Something happens in your life, you just gotta hold on to this one. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The principle that this is why I said God can cause things to work out to our good. They not always do immediately. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Because whether we're in tune with God's plan or not, what's happening in our life is designed for our good. If we're out of God's will, if we really don't care what God would have us to do, the things that are happening in our lives are still designed to bring us into conformity to God's plan. It's just, we just happen to be fighting them, and it's going to be very unpleasant, very unsatisfying. I mean, read the book of Ecclesiastes and just, you'll get a glimpse of a guy that spent his entire life, distracted, and at the end of his life, what he kind of sums it all up, and he says, you know what? When all said and done, fear the Lord and follow his plan. Well, God can cause things to work out for the good. And if we look at this verse, it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, just some things that we can see out of this verse is, number one, is that God is doing the causing of all these events. Okay? It's God who's in control. This is another verse that just shows us how God is the one who can cause and create all of these things. You read in the Old Testament some of the accounts of David and Daniel and decisions that they made in their lives. Here they are faced with adversity, and they're confronted with a situation where they've got to choose between God's will or joining the flow. And they choose for God's will in just these, awful situations. But you see how God causes, like in both the account of Daniel and Joseph, how God caused kindness and favor to be shown upon him by the guards and the prisoners. He says God caused that. God knew they were going to go to prison, but he caused the situation in prison so that they would be able to advance in there. So God causes all things to work together. I mean, he's the one that's causing all this. Work together for good. And what we have to realize when it's saying good here is it's not the good that many times we would like to think of good. I don't know, wherever you think is good for you. But this is the good of God. And if we think of, what's God's plan for the entirety of mankind, is that none would perish. That everyone would spend eternity with him. And so that's his idea. You ask God what's good, he says, yeah, everyone's with me. So God causes all things to work together for good. But now it goes on in here and it kind of qualifies how this situation works out. And it starts with, to those who love God. So we have to keep that in mind as we're confronted with problems, that we have to keep a proper attitude towards God. It says here, to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. That verse could also be translated to those who are living according to his purpose. We can't expect that God's will is going to work gloriously in our life if we're not living according to his plan. If we choose to discard every principle of truth that we know, it's not going to be good for God. It's not going to be God's good, and it'll be miserable for us. And we'll find out, we'll find ourselves in a situation where, we're constantly under discipline. We find no satisfaction in life, constantly butting our head up against a wall. Or Wes and I joke around about constantly partaking of door number three in life, which is the bad door. So God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So God can cause adversity to work for good. And we've got to realize that. If we stay focused on God and just rely on him and trust in him, that this situation is going to turn out to his glory, and we're going to be a part of that. So we have to keep that in mind. Point number four, another thing to remember when we're in adversity. is God knows that we're able to handle this adversity. God knows that we're able to handle the adversity. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that no temptation has overtaken you but such as a common to man. In other words, the thing that you're going through is not something supernatural. This is common to mankind. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Whatever the situation is that we find ourselves in, we have to realize that God knows that we're able to handle this. He won't put us through anything that he doesn't think that we're able to handle or that we're capable of. And God is faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. And he's faithful to supply every one of his promises that you're recalling in your mind. God has a plan. I'm part of his plan. God knows that. That's what we have to do when we go through these problems. We've got to concentrate and recall God's promises. Because that's what's going to carry us through. Not just the promises, but our claiming the promises, God is faithful to deliver on them. And we just need to relax in that. And relax as best you can, And you may have moments where you relax better than others. You may relax fine and go to sleep, and you wake up the next morning, and you're not so relaxed again. Start this process over again. Recall some of these scriptures. Sit down. Think about it. Sometimes they come back. Sometimes these thoughts come back to you. Point number five of what to remind yourself about. God has promised to supply all of our needs. God has promised to supply all of our needs. And that's from Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You've got to remember that. We're going through this problem. God has the ability to supply all my needs. And sometimes we have to back off and make sure that we recognize the difference between a need and a want. Scripture really makes it quite clear about really what we need to make it through life. When he sent his disciples out, he told them, food and clothing, guys, that's it. That's the order of the day. You don't need anything else. You travel light. And that's many times the other things that we have in our lives tend to distract us. So God has promised to supply all of our needs. Whatever we need to make it through the crisis, the adversity, God will supply. Well, so what else? What else do we do? In this list here, remind yourself of what God has told us. I just gave you 5 points. There are hundreds of other verses. And I'm sure if we were to just put this list up on the board right now and say, what else do you need to remember when you're going through a crisis in your life? You've got verses that, you should have verses that you've committed to memory. And these are your jewels in your life, your jewels in your soul. And when a crisis hits, this is what you pull up. Because, the way God made me and the particular baggage that I've got with me, there are verses that speak to me differently than they do to someone else. So you've got to find, you've got to find the verse, you've got to find your verse. And it could be one of these, but this is not just the end-all list of things that comfort us when adversity strikes. There's countless numbers of verses. God has a plan. God's in control. Adversity. God can cause adversity to work for good. He knows that we can handle the adversity. He's going to give us everything we need. We're not going to make it through. He hasn't put this situation in our lives for us to fail. You know, that's not why it's there. So what do we do when we hit this adversity? Well, point number C, keep your focus on Jesus Christ, who will deliver us. And the reference for that is Hebrews 12:2. Keep your focus on Christ. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that's what we're in. We're in this race, every one of us. And this is the West Side team right here. You know, this is our team. And we're all in this race together. And while we're running this race, endurance is required. And endurance is required because it's a long race, and it's, you know, we're going to trip, and we're going to stumble, and we're going to bump into, you know, someone in our lane, and they're going to trip, and they're going to fall, and then you're going to get up, and you're going to start fighting. And how come you're in my lane? I'm not in your lane. I guess that's just a typical church race, and it happens. Well, so what do? You fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, you don't concentrate on the problem. We can't concentrate on the problem. I can't concentrate on the problem. I'm going to bump into someone, and we're going to have words. Well, just get over it. I need to get over it. We need to move on. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on God's plan. Because if we keep our eyes on God's plan, we've got to do that, because the problems will become too overwhelming for us. We can't think about them. So we have to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Well, another thing that we can do, point number D, is pray. Pray about the situation. And the reference here is James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Anyone suffering? Pray. I mean, prayer is just, you know, when we pray, it's where we put ourselves before God and we're asking for His help. You know, that's probably one of the most important things to remember about prayer. Lack of prayer in our lives really reflects a lack of attitude of dependence upon God. You know, and if we're finding that we're not praying that much, then we've also got to realize that, gee, maybe I'm relying on my own strength, you know, a little bit too much. And see, when we do that, that's when we end up hitting adversity and having, you know, maximum failure. But it's a good thing, because then we learn that God's able to carry us through. And this is a quote that I heard. I don't recall who the source is, but it says, when we have come to the point where when we have nothing left but God, it's when we realize that God is enough. So prayer, you know, asking God for the strength, for the encouragement to move through this, asking for a little comfort, asking for the wisdom to make the right decision in this situation, asking for help. Help. And point number E, our final point on what to do when adversity strikes, is to stick together. Stick together. I mean, you know, we look at, you know, our group here at Westside. Adversity has struck in the past. This will happen, and we need to stick together through it, you know, so that we can encourage one another. It's not a time to battle. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 24 through 26, if you would turn there, please. 1 Corinthians 12. This section is talking about the body of Christ on its grand scale, but it very much applies to the body of Christ that we have here at Westside. First Corinthians 12:24, and the principle here we're looking at is sticking together in adversity. But God, I'm going to pick it up about halfway through 24, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, we're going to have adversity, and there's going to be suffering. There's going to be times of joy. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. We've got to stick together, you know, regardless of the situation. Because if a person, you know, you just think about the times in your life when you've been down and, you know, and you're the one who's going through this adversity. You know, so, you know, many times God will use other people to deliver encouragement. And so we've got to keep that in mind as someone else is going through a problem around us. You know, gee, allow God to use me to, you know, deliver a word of encouragement. Or just, you know, the last thing we want to do is, I don't know, I guess be another thorn in their side, which it happens. You know. But we need to stick together. I mean, adversity, you know, problems are going to happen in our life, you know, and chances are, you know, there are probably problems that, you know, that each one of you are going through right now in adversity. But you've got to remember that, you know, God's in control, and these are situations that God has allowed in your life because He wants you to move forward. And He realizes that this particular test for you is perfect to move you to the next level. And as we go through these problems in life, you know, these adversities, we need to, you know, as we're in the middle of it, sometimes, you know, if it's not too brutal, you know, you can think, well, gee, you know, I wonder where God has taken me. You know, where is this particular problem, adversity, leading me? Why is God having me go through this? What does He have next for me? You know, because that's a way that we can look at it. Just try not to concentrate on the negative and just, you know, keep some verses, some key verses, because adversity is something that, you know, if you're not going through it right now, well, the year's young and something's going to happen. It always does. And, you know, and God understands that, and that's why I think He's given us so many verses that deal with comfort and trust, and, you know, you read through the Psalms, and, you know, it seems like about every fifth Psalm has to do with David trusting the Lord. Either he's in a situation that's just clobbering him, and in David's case, a lot of times they had to do with people and his enemies who were, you know, talking garbage about him or stirring things up and trying to bring him down. And you read through the Psalms how he trusted in the Lord. And then there are other Psalms that he writes where he's reflecting back on a situation in his life and just how the Lord brought him through it. And that's real important for us to remember, too, because when we're in the middle of adversity and we do make it through, sometimes it's real easy to kind of let down our guard then and you know, kind of just kick back on the cruise control and move through life. Well, we want to make sure that we take the time to thank the Lord for bringing us through it and just, you know, remember that He's the one who brought us through the problem. When we were just on our hands and knees asking Him for help and He delivers, you know, we've got to remember that. So, well, let me close in prayer. Father, once again, we're thankful for Your grace, for Your faithfulness in our lives, and we're thankful for all the verses that You've given us that we can remember in times of adversity. Dismiss us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.